This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, we heard the long-awaited testimony from General David Petraeus and U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker on the troop surge in Iraq. President Bush endorsed the general's plan, but congressional Democrats and some Republicans say that it doesn't go far enough. NPR senior news analyst Dan Schor is here. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And the president addressed the nation this week. He, of course, pointed to General Petraeus' testimony as the definitive assessment of the troop surge.
Right.
After hearing General Petraeus' report, does this seem to you like some kind of turning point?
Well, turning point. Last January, they kicked the can down to mid-September and said this would be the turning point. But it hasn't really turned anywhere. There are going to be 57,000 troops brought home before Christmas because Senator John Warner asked to have some troops brought home before Christmas. Then they are going to roll back the surge, and when they finish, they'll have 130,000 there, which is what they had to begin with. It only begins to look more and more like we're in for a rather permanent troop stay in Iraq.
Secretary of Defense Gates had some remarks on Friday which suggested the drawdown could go even further.
That's right. He did say, a hope, I think he called it, that everything goes well, that maybe by the end of next year we can have our troop strength down to 100,000. I don't know what that means, except there is a big campaign being waged to defeat any Democratic attempt to oppose all of this by saying the most optimistic things possible, but they don't promise you anything.
How do you assess the assessment that was made this week of the surge, both by the president who thought that it had some effect and then people who clearly were skeptical of that assessment?
Well, I don't know how you read it, but I notice this remarkable thing. There's Anbar province, which is supposed to be the greatest success of the surge so far. President goes to Anbar province, and the next thing that happened is four Marines in Anbar are killed. The president meets with a charismatic Sunni sheikh.
This is Sheikh Abdul Sattar Abu Rishad.
Exactly, who has been the first such person to be worked with the United States, and very soon he's killed. So, I don't know, the surge is successful. It's highly modified success.
Let me ask you about the sheikh's murder and your assessment, after looking at events as you have for so many decades. Does something like the death of Sheikh Abu Risha, does that have the practical effect of stiffening the determination of his tribe to still work against Al-Qaeda? Or does it make them more timorous? Does it send the message that cooperation could result in their death?
How about some degree of both? Mm-hmm. They must be awfully angry about this, and they may very well want to take it out on somebody. On the other hand, if you were a young sheikh today, you wouldn't be quick to go out and say, I'm going to work with the Americans. There's been an assumption that we're working for is a better central government. But if all of this works, it could just as easily end up as being a fragmentation into a series of one, two, three, maybe, different countries. Mm-hmm. It is not written in stone that because there are people willing to work against Al-Qaeda, they will end up saying we will now support Maliki, who is a Shiite, in Baghdad.
Negotiations collapsed on the Iraqi oil law this week. It had been held up in the parliament for many months, and clearly a lot of disagreement on what that law should entail. Help us understand why it's so difficult for Iraqi legislators to reach a consensus.
Well, in Iraq, all the oil is in the north, and all the other provinces have to benefit from a distribution of oil revenues. The most important earmark, benchmark, that was supposed to come out of all I was going here would be a law which would give a fair apportionment of oil revenues to everybody. That law has collapsed. Mm-hmm. That may be as serious a blow to the attempt to bring them all together as anything that has yet happened. But people don't pay much attention because you're not getting people shot. But the fact of the matter is that if the Kurds keep their oil and don't share their oil with the others, they're in terrible trouble.
Friday was the last day on the job for Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. It had been suggested that President Bush might be interested in nominating the former U.S. Solicitor General Ted Olson.
Yes.
Harry Reid, Democratic leader in the Senate, says Ted Olson's not getting confirmed.
And he probably isn't going to get confirmed. I mean, anything can be stopped by a filibuster or by a vote of that sort. And if Senator Reid says it's going to happen, it's indeed going to happen. You know, somehow I have a feeling that the idea of nominating Ted Olson was floated in order to start some other controversy than Iraq.
Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, suddenly accepted the resignation of the Russian prime minister, and he named a man named Viktor Zubkov to replace him, who was unknown to, well, to many Russians as well as many Americans in the news business, and is said to be an anti-corruption investigator.
Well, yeah, trying to understand Russia, you know, it is still a riddle wrapped in a mystery or whatever they wrapped.
That was Churchill's phrase, wrapped in an enigma.
Inside an enigma.
A mystery.
But never mind. What happened is that Putin, who loves running Russia, is ending his two terms under their constitution, as under ours, two terms or you get, but their constitution is different in one way. That is, after you skip a term, you can come back. Mm-hmm. And so it's clear that Putin wants to keep that seat warm for himself, appointed somebody that nobody knew and will probably remain justly unknown, because his only job is to hold that seat until Putin is ready to return.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure thing. Mm-hmm.